The Lord restore the honour of your name, and be to us our inspiration and our guide, that we would glorify you in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's probably not anything that I value more than being in the presence of God. This deep, rich presence. Words are difficult to describe it. And we had in that reading from Genesis, that story of Jacob. He's on the run and he arrives at this place, and he makes bed. I've stepped on some pretty hard beds, but a stone for a pillow kind of kills it for me. I think I'd have dreams too if I stepped on a pillow of a stone. But however, in this case, God in his magnificent gloriousness revealed himself to Jacob. And Jacob woke and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." I mean, Jacob found himself in the presence of God. It was not planned or sought. God just turned up, and Jacob concluded that he must be in the house of God at the gate of heaven. How awesomely scary that must have felt. Caught by surprise. And it would be easy to assume that it is better to wait for God to do his thing and for us to simply to live by faith. And yes, to live by faith is fundamental to the Christian life. To decide on the basis of what we feel or sense is a dangerous thing. Feelings are so fickle and unpredictable. However, the life that is built only on the cold knowing of Scripture can become lifeless and dead. Faith without experience can so easily run out, as in any relationship. Experience and knowledge are both needed. A relationship that is devoid of emotion is in a dangerous place, as love will leak out and be replaced by boredom, apathy, and distance. Oh yes, by faith I stand, but by the Spirit I am engaged with God and can know his presence. Bill Johnson says, "One of the greatest privileges in life is to learn to be a person that God will rest upon. He already lives in every Christian, but he doesn't rest upon all of us. One way I like to say it," he says, "he is in me for my sake, but he is upon me for yours. When he is upon us, it especially changes others around us." Jesus modeled this lifestyle in the story of his baptism in water. When Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water and the heavens opened and the Father spoke, and then the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove and remained. John testified saying, "I've seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him." If in the normal events of life, I have a dove sitting on my shoulder and I don't want it to fly away, how am I going to live? Well, every step would be with the dove in mind. Does that make sense? I just hope he doesn't poop. But that's the way I'd live. I'd live mindful that I don't want him to fly away. So it is with the Spirit of God. As we become faithful in learning how to welcome and host the presence of God, there is a tension between two realities. His presence has been given to us without measure, yet what we enjoy on a daily basis has been measured to us according to our faithfulness. In other words, we have access to unlimited measure of God's presence. But he doesn't entrust himself to untrustworthy people. All of the measurements are set on our end of the equation. It's what we do. He typically entrusts us with the measure of the presence we are willing to jealously guard. We're willingly jealously guard. In other words, I am just so wanting the presence of God. I will guard that. I will not allow to have in my mind nothing that is not in His. And I find that a real challenge because of my humanity and other excuses that I can find. We are to become His resting place. And when God rests upon a person, there is a shift in the atmosphere wherever that person goes. In Acts, we read the story of Peter, and it's one that has always challenged me, because we read that Peter's shadow healed people. I find that extraordinary. How did his shadow heal people? I mean, that's off the tree. It just seems too simplistic. But listen to this. Our shadow, your shadow, my shadow, will always release whatever overshadows us. Our shadow will always release whatever overshadows us. I don't know whether you've noticed, but anxious parents produce anxious children. Have you seen that? Confident parents produce confident children. Fearful, anxious leadership produces insecurity and uncertainty in people. You know that, don't you? You've done it yourself. You see it happen. And so, if the Spirit of God is overshadowing us, if that is what is central for us, then just simply our shadow can impact those around us. It's kind of cool. I'm just wanting the healing, too. Bill says, when we learn to host the presence of God, we get more breakthroughs by accident than ever used to happen on purpose. That is a possibility for every Christian, every day. So then, how do we welcome the presence of God? Well, worship is a great place to begin, and I trust as the service has been unfolding that you would have sensed some of that for yourself. God is everywhere at all times. David said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? And in the whole context of that psalm, now I could go to heaven, I could go to hell, I could go anywhere, and you are there. I cannot escape you. Darn. Says sometimes you want to, isn't it? But I can't. He's there, says David. He came to realize that there is no place that we can hide from God's presence. He's everywhere. He sees everything. Because of this, we can know that we are never alone, and that he will never leave us, nor abandon us. So God is everywhere. He lives in the Christian. His presence is given to all who believe. We read it in 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you? However, this does not mean that we shouldn't long for the presence of God. But how can we long for something that is already all around us and within us? When we talk about experiencing the presence of God, we're really talking about the realization of abiding or being permanently aware of God's presence, of recognizing His presence and becoming conscious of Him. Though God is always with us, it is obvious that there are times when we know this more deeply. It is in knowing the presence of God that the power comes. It is in knowing God's presence that lives have changed and God's glory is revealed. Now, God reveals Himself to those who earnestly seek Him. We read, if you seek God, your God, you'll be able to find Him if you're serious, looking for Him with your whole heart and soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. If we want to walk in the presence of God, then we need to be practicing the presence of God. One of the main ways of doing this is through worship, by placing ourselves before Him in adoration. We make room for Him. And through focusing our attention on Him, it increases our awareness of being in the presence of God. Learning how to soak in God's presence through worship is one of the most valuable things we can do with our time. God has promised that as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us, and we will experience Him with us in ever-increasing measures. This is how to remain in the presence of God, by living in the place of worship. Another way is to know you are in the presence of God. is to spend time in His Word. Now, I don't mean just the cold academic reading of His Word. I mean devotional reading. I mean engaging with God in His Word. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relationship intimate and organic, the harvest is sure and to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. It's when we're connected to God and His Word that we are most likely to be aligned to the Father's will. And when we're aligned to the Father's will, we will see our prayers answered in ways that are beyond our present understanding or experience. Jesus is always present with His Word. Spending quality time in the Word of God will always bring an increased sense of His presence. Now, you might say to me, well, this is all well and very good, but I just don't see it happening for me, no matter how hard I try. This may be because our life story brings with it its own wounds and brokenness. And sometimes it's because of our choices and actions, and sometimes it's because of the actions of others. So I'm going to hand over to Kay now, who's going to talk to us about binding and loosing prayers. Thanks, Kay.